Let's have a word of prayer. Blessed Father and God, we thank thee again for the opportunity that thou hast given to us. Yes, we come to thee, we thank thee for the living word. But we also thank thee for the written word. Now it's our desire to be cast upon thyself, that the Spirit of God will take the things written therein, that we'll be able to apply them in a right way to each heart that thou hast gathered here. We desire to read in the book distinctly and give the sense and cause all to understand. We know, Father in God, the entrance of thy word giveth light. And yea, we desire that thou in thy grace will grant what is needed for the hour. Yea, blessed God, that all may hear. Yea, but we also pray that we'll also apply. We commit into thy hands once again this days of conference. And desire, blessed God and Father, that the Spirit of God will have his way and sway amongst us, that all that will be done will be in subject to him. And we ask that we'll walk according to the leading of the Spirit and walk according to the light of thy precious word. We commit this time into thy hands. And ye ask, O God, to follow thy word with blessing as we give thee thanks. In our Savior's worthy and precious name, amen. We'd like to turn to Psalm 44. And I would like to read the whole Psalm. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their day and in the time of old. How thou didst drive out the heathen with thine hands and plantest them, how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast a favor unto them. Thou art my king, O God. Command deliverance for Jacob. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies and hast put them to shame that hate us. In God we boast all day long and praise thy name forever, Selah. But thou hast cast us off and put us to shame, and goest not thou with our armies. Thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us spoil for themselves. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, and hast scattered us among the heathen. Thou sellest thy people for naught, and dost not increase thy wealth by their pride. Thou madest us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are wronged about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people. My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face has covered me. For the voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth by reason of the enemy and the avenger. All this has come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Our hearts are not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way. Though thou hast so broken us in the place of the dragon and covered us in the shadow of death, if we have forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to a strange God? Shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secret of the heart. Yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. Wherefore, hidest thou thy face and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Our bellies cleave unto the earth. Arise for our help and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. I read all the psalm because we like to look at this psalm in relation first to Israel and then apply it to ourselves. It's the chief musician for the sons of Korah. It is one of the maskil psalms. There are 13 maskil psalms in the Bible. And this is one of them. It's a psalm of instruction. Instruction to make us wise in the day in which we live. Each one have a lesson for the present day. And if you observe, as we'll go through this psalm, there is things we can look back. There is a retrospective view, and there's also a prospect. So if we want to make it elementary, we can say that we can see the past, we can see the present, and we could see what we need to continue with. It's a psalm of instruction. It's a psalm for the sons of Korah. And some of these psalms of the sons of Korah is one of the saddest psalms in the Bible. We know what happened to Korah. We know Korah's rebellion. We know what he did when they were coming through the wilderness. How he rebelled against Moses and Aaron. Indeed, he rebelled against the individuals that God had set up sovereignly. He is from the tribe, or he is a descendant from Kohath, the Kohathites. And when you look in scripture, this man, Korah, it's really a priestly psalm. It's a psalm that is bringing before us somewhat of how we need to act in light of what God has given to us. You see, today, it's a very difficult day in which we live. Because we know from scripture, when a person is named in the Bible, the person character or what he stands for, follow him until he dies. But today, you ask someone, what's your name? Some funny name, because they add and do what they want and today. But in the Bible, it wasn't so. With the young children that comes to the children's meeting, the first time they would come, Will says, who are you here for the first time? And they will raise their hands. What's your name? I tell you, saints, some you just have to say it loud. Just say it loud. Difficult to pronounce. But the fact is that he came from the line of the Kohathites. And Kohathite means assembly, waiting, and obedient. And in light of the sons of Korah, we ask ourselves, indeed probably some of his sons lived. We know that the earth opened and all his wife, his children, indeed his tent and all that he had. Moses says, get away from these men, because God is going to do something that indeed men will realize is God that is speaking and not Moses, it's not Aaron. It's God that is going to answer. And God opened up the earth and swallow up these men. And I believe that some of his sons lived. And as they saw, they said the cries of these men were heard, and Israel started to run. They started to run, and God sent some fire, indeed, and consumed some of them who stood with, who believed like Korah, but didn't went and stand with him. Sad psalm. But what this man, Korah, didn't realize, the assembly is not a building, and I'm applying it. Assembly, waiting, and obedient. This is where he came from. He's a Kohathite. As the assembly, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. As waiting, the scripture says, wait on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Again, he says, I say wait on the Lord. Obedience. Obedience to the word of God. But Korah threw aside everything. He forgot he was a Kohathite. Well, this psalm is written for his sons. And it's a psalm of instruction. And verse 1 commence with, verse 1 tells us, he says, we have heard with our ears. O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their day, in the time of old. We can look back, saints. We can look back, and he's speaking about the triumphant victories that the children of Israel had as they went into the land of Canaan. Into that place. Remember, when they were coming before, they came over the Jordan. They came to Sion. And all they asked Sion was, let us pass through thy land. And Sion get in a huff. They says, listen, we will not pass through thy, all we want to do is pass through thy land. We'll not go into your fields. We'll not pass, we'll not go into your vineyards. We'll not drink of the waters of thy well, but we'll go along the king's highway. Sion says, no way. And Sion sent out his army, and saints, is the same for us. All we want to do is pass through here. Not Trinidad, but pass through this wilderness. We just want to pass through this land. We will not drink of the waters of their well. Why? Because we have the Spirit of God. We don't want to pass through his vineyard. Why? Because we have the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. We don't want to pass through your field. The field is the world. We don't want to pass through. All we want to go is along the king's highway. Indeed, the path of grace. Sion didn't like that. Sion sent his army to fight against the children of Israel. And what happened? Moses discomfited them and slew them with the edge of the sword. They marched on that they came to the Jordan. Moses is dead, as Brother Hagley read. Came over the Jordan. And his victory after victory. Man, the walls of Jericho fell. Walls of Jericho fell. They had a little hiccup with Ai. But they recovered. Then they came to Gibeonites, and they also had a little hiccup. But they went on, and victory to victory, the 5 kings, the 10 kings, the 11. And listen, there was victory, chapter 10, chapter 11, and they were going through. What a tremendous victory. Indeed, it tells us they heard of it. They were told, they knew of the victory in verse 2. How thou didst drive out the heathen with thine hand and plantest them, and how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword. Indeed, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thy arm and thy light of thy countenance, it means God's presence, because thou hast favored in them. Indeed, he says there was victory, saints. It was a tremendous time for Israel. It was a military time. It was a victory time. They were going in. And I tell you, the enemies were trembling. Remember, Rahab said it. She says, man, our hearts are melted when we heard of what God did to the Red Sea and what he did to Sion and Og. There's no more spirit. Indeed, she says, and the greatest battle in the book of, in the land of Canaan was when God indeed humbled Rahab without a blow. Indeed, the power of the grace of God, how to transform this woman. That's the first victory God won. The first victory God won was to win Rahab. The walls of Jericho was nothing to God. It's the hearts of men God wanted to reach. Saints, it was a time of victory. Indeed, when we look and apply it now to the church. Indeed, the early church. Man, you talk about Peter and the day of Pentecost. 3,000 were saved. One man says, we have to preach 3,000 sermons now for one person to be saved. He says, but Peter preached one sermon, 3,000 were saved. Some were upset. Indeed, but they mightily convinced the people by the word of God. The word of God, they talk about James, Peter and John, going up to the temple to to pray, look on us. He said, look on us. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. St. Augustine said when he came down in Rome and he looked at the gold, indeed in the Vatican, he says, yes, yes, I can say. I can say silver and gold we have, but we cannot say in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Tremendous change. Tremendous change, beloved saints. And it tells us when you think about, indeed, not only Peter and John, when you think of Paul, when you think of Stephen, when you think of Paul and Barnabas, and Paul and Silas, you're seeing triumphant marching going through, going on three. Tremendous. And as we read these, the book of Acts, as we read the book of Acts, what it does? It caused faith to rise. It look at what? We have embraced and the movement that we are attached to. This is the tremendous victory. We can turn and we can talk of what is recovered. What has been recovered? We can say we are linked with a recovery that brought us back the church. To see no one else save Jesus only. Tremendous times. You know, when I came amongst the brethren, I tell you, saints, I thought it was the happiest place on planet Earth. Happiest place. The first time I came to the meetings, it was a prayer meeting. I tell you, it was heavenly. It was heavenly. And the brethren praying, I said, I've never heard something like this before. What is this? Happy times! Happy times. Saints, I tell you, conference to conference. I could remember the first time I went to Mountain View. Larry and his wife, they used to run camps. And their daughter was very young at that time, at behind the desk. Happy times! The Andrew camps. You could remember that, Brother Larry? The Andrew camp. Bring a friend. Pack! It used to be packed. Happy times. Brethren, I tell you, it was wonderful time. Men with conviction. Men who loved the Lord. Men who stood for righteousness. Men who will not flinch. Indeed, when people confront them, they were men. Men who stood for God. I tell you, saints was happy there. I tell you, I saw men, indeed, who stood up, called sin, sin, called wrong, wrong, and indeed, rebellion, rebellion. Indeed, there was wrong couldn't be right, and right couldn't be wrong. There were men who stood for God. And brother, I tell you, that was a tremendous impact on my Christian life. I got some real blows from them too, but I took them all, brethren. I took them all. I took them in love because I realized, indeed, in spite of how stern and righteous they were very loving men. Happy days, recovery. We boast of Mr. Darby and Mr. Kelly. We boast of men who have brought to light again the truth. Mr. Walson, Hamilton Smith, men of learning. Indeed, they said of Mr. Kelly. Mr. Kelly had the biggest library as an individual. 15,000 books, Mr. Kelly. The man was well endowed. Open up, Mr. Darby. I asked Brother Grant, how do you, how it is possible for you to write all these books? He said, brother, if you spend 15 minutes in the morning just writing and stuff, he says, you'll be amazing. Mr. Darby, all the books you have written. Mr. Kelly, and you ask, what is that? That's a pinnacle of Brethren movement, if we say. The pinnacle. And as we read these things and we dwell upon them, you know what he says in verse 4? It says, thou art my king, thou art my Lord, we'll say today. Oh God, command this deliverance for Jacob. Why not Israel? Jacob, the supplanter. He says, through thee will we push down war, push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against thee. You know, in Mr. Kelly and Mr. Darby and the early Brethren days, when men set out
foolishness in the media or in written in literature. These men used to write and said, where you get that from? And indeed, correct it. Men stood up. You hear so much garbage in America right now and in Europe, and nobody have a backbone amongst us to say, listen here, let us write something and say, this is not according to the word of God. The days we are in, we are going to see. These were men who stood for the assembly truth, but also stood for the word of God. They held the word of God high. I could remember, used to preach in the open air. And when you know when you get excited, you kind of want your hand free. Put your Bible down on you. And you, the brother said, hey brother, let me tell you this. When you come out in the open air, I want you, when you're preaching, you just hold the Bible up and let people know. He says you don't have to say much, but you lift the Bible so you can move your hand up your what. But you make the Bible higher than your head. People are going to get the message. This is the book in which men have to believe and men have to walk by. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Brethren, it caused our faith to rise. When we look back and we see men who stood for God, when we see the leaders that went before us, those who have taught us the way. He says here, and we know faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, hearing the word of God. It is impossible to please God without faith, the scripture says. So as we lay hold upon the word of God by faith, he tells us in verse 6, he says, for I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me, but thou shalt save us from our enemies, and I put them to shame. Since what are we going to trust in? Are we going to trust in what is in our hands? Are we going to trust in those men who have gone before us, godly as they are? In my devices? No, he says, we are going to put our trust in God. In verse 8, he says, in God we boast all day long. And praise thy name, Selah. Pause and consider. Now, we know in music, as the song, indeed, sometimes a song take a little higher pitch. Take a higher little pitch. But this song is going to a lower pitch. A lower pitch. He says, I want you to pause and consider. The first 8 verses was a time of victory. A time of reflection of the past. We can look back and see the victory wrought for Israel in Canaan. We can look back and see what the church has done in the book of Acts. We can look back and see indeed what the recovery has done for us. But now there's a reflection of the present that is coming before us. Let us reflect on the present, beloved saints. He tells us in the present here, but thou hast cast us off. Thou hast cast us off, saints. You know, I told a brother, I want to write a book. But I read recently, there are writing prophets and prophets who wrote nothing. After I read that, I asked God, what kind of prophet I am? A writing prophet? A prophet who should write nothing? It's a challenge. Isaiah, writing prophet. Jeremiah, a writing prophet. Indeed, and you go down to Malachi, all these people. Elijah never wrote anything. Elijah never wrote anything. The man of God that God sent against the altar of Jeroboam never wrote anything. But listen, when we consider, thou hast cast us off. Look at the church, and we are going to look at that in the book of Revelation. I'm not going to get into all of that. But saints, we are in a day of reproach. We are in a day of reproach. It tells us, but thou hast cast us off and put us to shame, and goeth not forth with our army. Thou makest us to turn back from the enemy. And they which hate us spoil for themselves. It tells us in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1 and verse 3. He says that When he came, when the Hanani came, he came and he said to him, the walls are broken down. No separation. The gates are burned. Administration also was broken down. The people are in great affliction and reproach. Saints, take a good look. In your time, we don't have to go far. In your time, you take a good look and ask, where have we gone? What has happened? Just pause and consider. Let it sink in. What has happened? What has gone wrong? And the men we criticized years ago, realized they were men of God. And now we have to ask what kind of men and women we are. I tell you, sometimes it makes me feel like weeping. I know Nehemiah. And I may not be able to enter in fully in all the feelings of this man. But I know when I came and what I met. And sometimes I long, I ask God, can I see those days again? Can I see those days again? I could remember Brother Shaver Walker. The brother was instrumental in bringing me up spiritually. We used to pray. We worked together. We used to pray every day at 2 o'clock on the job. And you know what was Brother Walker's prayer? Oh God, may I see revival in my time. Brother Walker died. The Lord took him home, heart attack. But when he was praying that, I said, what wrong with this brother? Why, these wonderful times. They're wonderful times. What he's looking for? The question is, brethren, we ask ourselves, what has happened? If we admit, if we are honest people, we are not as separated as we used to be. The path of separation, that's how we used to be. Assembly administration, men are scared to death to act for God. Scared to death. You know why? We are conformists. We are not, it's not unity anymore. It's conformity. Unless you say what I say and say just the way, you're in trouble. Brethren, we are in days where we have to ask what has happened. First, in verse 9, it tells us we have lost the battle. It seems so. From the public point of view, it seems as though we have lost the battle. But we know, scripturally speaking, we know, doctrinally speaking, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of God. She shall be brought to glory. But publicly, boy, we are laughing stock. Publicly, people are laughing. Publicly, people are saying, look at them, look at them. If something jump up on that wall, it will break it down. If a fox go up on it, what you doing? Hey, what you doing? You better stop. Indeed, why? It's because, again, the few, the remnant who want to build, indeed, it's building. And we have to have one hand on the trowel and one hand on the sword. It's a difficult day. In verse 10, it says, thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and which hate us and made us a spoil. In verse 10, it seems as though the Lord is not supporting us anymore. It seems as though there is no support from the Lord. And not only so, in verse 11, thou hast given us like sheep appointed to meat, and has scattered us among the heathen. Brethren, are we a scattered people? Are we scattered? Are we divided? Yes, we are. We are, you know, men proud, pride themselves. There was an article in Times Magazine, I think about 4 years ago, of Mr. Darby. Indeed, Mr. Darby, who recovered the truth of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that, yes, he also projected, indeed, the oneness of the body. What, brethren? The most divided company on planet Earth is the brethren. And we hold to the truth of this one body. God has scattered us. And you ask why? You know why? I believe because we are too proud. Because we have the truth. And yes, indeed, we know we can dot the I and cross the T. God says, listen here, knowledge profit up, but love edify. Love edifies. Love edifies. He says, listen here, God has scattered us. I have wept many times. I've cried literally. And I wrote in my Bible. I wrote it in my Bible. One day, cheers! And I wrote it. I says, we are those who are on the outside looking in, and we are helpless to do anything for change. Powerless. Powerless. Divided. I tell you, brethren, I could, the Apostle Paul wept. He says, my departure, grievous words, will enter into the flock, not sparing them. He said, I've warned you. I've ceased not to warn you for the space of 2 years. Be watchful. Dear saints, listen, who are wreckers and not builders. Wreckers, I don't know. Some have sledgehammers. And they just come, you build a little, bam, they knock down the brick. I could remember when I lived here, when I was growing up as a boy. Never forget it. Mr. Vincent, his wife went to America. He was an unsaved man. And next thing you know, he started to live with a lady called Miss Melvina. And his wife came home all on a sudden. So Miss Melvina took out the house and take off. You know what Mr. Vincent did? Mr. Vincent took a sledgehammer and started breaking down the front of his house. Just break off the front door. Start breaking down the bricks, mashing everything down. She called for police. And he did. The police came to lock up Mr. Vincent. And Mr. Vincent says, what happened? A man cannot renovate his house. I go in and put glass and I go in and put all kind of stuff in front of my house. So why, what? I cannot renovate my own house. This, I'm going to renovate my house. I'm going to make it more beautiful than it is. They had to leave him. Saints, they are a load amongst us with sledgehammers. They don't come with mortar. They don't come with chowel. They don't come with bricks. They don't come with binding wire. All they come with is deed with chisel and hammer and sledgehammers. And he says, God has allowed it. God has allowed it. And why God has allowed it? Why God has allowed these things amongst us? You cry and sometimes God says, I'm not going to answer. I'm going to take you through the ringer. I'm going to let you know. Indeed, when you are more occupied with the blessing and not the blesser, I'm going to teach you a lesson. Men, there's brothers amongst us who reverence Mr. Darby, saying reverently speaking, more than the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Mr. Kelly, brother, I've read these men books, tremendous. But there are men given to the church by the head of the assembly. It tells us, brethren, in verse 12, for thou sellest thy people for naught, and doth not increase thy wealth by their prize. There's some who will accept anything. You could imagine a person who walked in the truth of the assembly becoming a Seventh-day, embracing the Seventh-day Adventist teaching. There are some who have walked with us, who have gone to the Pentecostal. Hey, hallelujah! Praise the Lord! And not only so, they come back to tell the saints, you're missing something. You're missing something. And the saints there is going to say, listen, brethren, we too stiff. We too stiff. We got to loosen up. You know, you have these saints in straight jacket. We got to loosen up. Allow certain things. There's nothing wrong in, nothing wrong with that. Listen here. Indeed, these men years ago, people in himself think about talking about that in the meeting. Men yesterday, you couldn't bring that up. Saints, I told you here already. I'll tell you again. I was one who went after the Pentecostal movement. The brethren knocked that out my head completely. Badam. And not only so, I had to go to Bible study every Saturday. Not voluntarily, mandatorily. It was mandatory. You have to come. Indeed, I'm not saying, hey, you, if you have time, come, come. No. You have to come and be there every Saturday. And I had to go and unlearn what I was taught by a brother in the meeting. Yeah. By a brother in the meeting. Sad. We sell ourselves for nothing. We give up the truth. These are days in which we are living. Problems among the brethren, I'm not going to discuss. You know it yourself. In verse 13 to 15, it tells us, thou madest us a reproach to our neighbors and a scorn and derision to them that are wronged about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people. My confusion is continually before thee, and the shame of my face hath covered me. You know, saints, there are some, it's true, we are broken up. We are broken up. We are scattered, divided. And although we may sit in the same hall, there is a line of demarcation. You could cut with a knife. Clearly seen. But this, I'll stress. The practical outworking. That's why, saints, it is coming home to me. We talk a lot. But the manifestation of what we believe, very little seen. I got to work on my attitude. God have to deal with me. Not with you. God have to deal with me. It's me. God have to change. Not that man. I got to come to you, not you come to me. What struck me was a brother who is a leading brother in another place. This is Brother Hadley, Brother Mayhew. I think he's a Barbadian brethren thing in another place. Another place. A young lady was going through a load of problems. And she went to the brother. She says, I need help. He said to her, I want you to take this and this and this and come off on this. Stop and ba, 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 ba. So the sister said to me, how to get there? I says, where are you going to? I'm going to such and such a place. I says, wait here. That's role reversal. The shepherd supposed to come to the sheep. Not the sheep find the shepherd. That is what is happening. The sheep is looking for shepherds. And Ezekiel chapter 34 tells us the shepherds are getting fat and the sheep is getting lean. They are forsaken God's, God, feed my sheep, feed my lamb. But God says, I'm going to raise up saints. God is going to raise up individuals who we don't think capable enough to be used of God. God says, I'm going to raise them up. And I'm going to show you, it's not schools of learning. It's not knowledge. God is going to give wisdom. And God is going to give wisdom to the care of his people. And he says this. Says yes, we can talk about oneness of the body. But listen, do we really believe in the oneness of the body? In verse 16, he says, the enemy who have done so is the enemy. But God has allowed the enemy to do it. But Let me see the time, please. Because I heard Brother Reyes. Okay. But in verse 17, there's a complete change. This is what we need to continue with. He says in verse 17, all this has come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee. Brethren, praise the Lord. You hear me? Praise the Lord. All these things has come upon us. But we have not forgotten the breaking of the bread. We have not forgotten the remembrance meeting. We have not forgotten thee. Brethren, we are in reproach. Brethren, the enemy has done a job on us. Brethren, we are divided. But one thing, indeed, we have done. Indeed, in a small way, in spite of the two or the three's weaknesses in the meeting, we have not forgotten him. Indeed, some have said, I've gone many places. Many places and break the bread. Some says, listen, indeed, listen, the bread's supposed to be broken early. Some says, hey, leave it and let the Spirit lead. Some says, I believe in the progression of worship. You address the Father, the Son before, and then after the bread is broken, you address the Father. Then some says, indeed, we give everything to the Father. Listen, saints, I am not caught up with that. What I am caught up with is that Jesus is remembered. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death until he comes. Let's don't forget that. Let's come in and remember it's the dying request of the Lord. In spite of, we can look back at the days of the old days and says, oh God, we wish for them again. But at present, what we got to continue with, let us continue with the breaking of bread. And Mr. Kelly says, anytime you see people start missing the breaking of bread, please go after them. You know why? The next thing, they'll be out of fellowship. Indeed, that is the regulator. That is the thermostat. That is, beloved, indeed, the test of every one of us. Do you love the breaking of bread? Do you come to remember the Lord? To remember him. Remember what he has done for us. And this psalm is not an individual psalm. It's a collective thing. It's us. It's we. We got to go on together. He says, remember him. I tell you, I've gone places. The wine tastes different. Some places, nice sweet wine. Nice to the taste. Some places, the wine want to cut your throat. Some places, it says, well, Lord, you say, remember you. And you say, well, it's not all you have to say, thank the Lord, you remember him. Sometime, the bread, I'm going to a place, they cut off all the crust off the bread. Other place, the bread look pale. Bread look wrong. Well done. You ignore all of that. I heard a brother one time preach on where the bread's supposed to be positioned. And the cup and the collection bag should not be on the table. You think I'm occupied with that? Eh? I ain't come to see the bag. I come to remember the Lord. And this is what needs to grip our hearts. Saints, we are coming to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us, in spite of what has happened to us, God has so broken us. God has shattered us abroad. But let us keep this in mind. It's the breaking of bread that reminds me, in spite of where you have gone, we are still one body. Still one body. Still one body. And the man with the attitude, or the sister with the attitude, or me with my attitude, is still seen in that loaf. I tell you, saints, I will say that every Lord's Day morning. Every Lord's Day. We will not forget thee. Promise the Lord that we will not forget thee. Saints, I went to Ethiopia. And I bought a shoe in Northern Ireland. But what happened? I didn't know. It was a winter shoe. It had a thick lining inside. So I went to Ethiopia. And it was hot. And since I started to sweat. Sweat coming up. And I start feeling bad because I says, I want to take off the shoe. But I says, what to do? And you stand up in the meeting from the start to finish, you know? I says, Lord, please give me some help. I said to Eckhard, I said, Brother Eckhard, I ain't feeling good, you know. So I went and I take off the shoe. But you know, I couldn't come back in for the breaking of bread. I tell you, I felt so awful. I said, Lord, imagine I couldn't remember you this morning. Couldn't remember you because of this shoe I ignorantly bought. I brought it home and I ain't wearing it no more. But the thing is this. There was something in my heart that said, look at what you mean to say a shoe keep you from breaking bread. I tell you, it was painful. It was painful. And I decide, how could people stay away from the breaking of bread? They can't have no heart for God. They can't have no heart for Christ. His dying request. Secondly, he tells us, not only we have not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Covenant relationship. Saints, nothing can change us from being the Lord's. Nothing. It's a divine work exclusively of the Lord. But then after, there's a condition attached. Indeed, to maintain wonderful communion and fellowship with Christ. And he says, truly, he says, brethren, our fellowship is the Father and the Son. We know, indeed, our standing is perfect. We know that our state can be interrupted. But the fact is, these individuals says, listen, we know of the will, that we'll know the knowledge of his will, that we'll walk worthy here. The good pleasure of his will, we are brought into sonship. Let us act as sons, indeed sons of God. The mystery of his will, God is going to set up Christ under all this wonderful headship, and we will be in association with him. And the counsels of his will, he's going to bring us into all he has secured for us in Christ. Saints, let us realize we have been brought into a wonderful relationship. Let us enjoy. Thirdly, he says in verse 18, our hearts is not turned back, neither have our steps declined out of the way. Last night, we talked about the hearing of the word. Saints, The authority of God's word remains, you know. God has honored or magnified his word above his name. The word of God still have authority. And all we have to do is use the authority of God found in his word and act upon that and leave the results with him. Leave the results with him. God is going to deal with the rebellious and the disobedient. But we want to keep this in mind. This is Philadelphian truth. We have not denied thy name. We have kept thy word. And here it is. The authority of God's word is maintained amongst the people of God. We want to maintain God's word. And I tell you, today we know, as we'll talk later on, it's the people's rights. People believe they could come in the assembly and say what they want and do what they want. That's not true. That's not true. The assembly is not yours, it's not mine, it belongs to the Lord. And this is what we are, just members, placed sometimes in responsibility. And the scripture tells us, indeed, the authority to act, the authority to be maintained, is all found in the word of God. And fourthly, he says, neither of our steps decline from the way. Which way? Since in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. It says we are strangers. They confess. No, they embrace the promises. And they confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Since this world is not our home. It's not our home. And sad to say, we believe so. The Lord Jesus says, if my kingdom was of this world, then would my servants fight. Peter says he wrote to the strangers scattered abroad. He also tells us, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, fleshly lust which warreth against the soul. As strangers and pilgrims, we have to abstain. Keep away. We are strangers here. Heaven is our home. These four things, brethren, I want to commend and commit to you. Let us hold on to them in spite of what happened amongst us. Let us maintain the breaking of bread. Let us realize we are in a covenant relationship with God. Let us realize the authority of God's word. Let us realize we are strangers and pilgrims on this earth. This world is not our home. Since any moment now the Lord shall come, and he that promised to come will come and will not tarry. And we are going home, and we shall be with our Lord. And I want to wrap up in closing very quickly. He says, though thou hast so broken us in the place of the dragon and covered us with the shadow of death, if we have forgotten the name of our Lord or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For thou knowest the secret of the heart. Now, brethren, the place of the dragon. In the book of Revelation, he's called the dragon, the deceiver, Satan, the devil. As the dragon, he wields destruction in the world. Destruction. And this is where God has broken us. Though thou hast so broken us in the place of the dragon and covered us with the shadow of death. He says, if we have forgotten thy name, we have not denied thy name. We have not stretched out our hands to no one else. And he says, God knows it. God knows every heart. And God says, judge nothing before the time. He's the one who is going to bring to light and manifest the counsels of the heart. Then he tells us in closing, he says in verse 22, yea, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. You know that is found in the book of Romans. Awake. Why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise. Cast us not off. He's crying for deliverance. He's crying for change. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. You know, all these things that are coming upon us as a fellowship. You know what God is doing? God is sifting us. Sifting us. But all it does is like a ship. And most of us who live in the Caribbean have lived through hurricanes. I tell you, I lived down in Trinidad for years. Never went through a hurricane. I went to America. One pass on Long Island. But when I went to St. Kitts, I went through six already. The last one is when I fall on my knees and ask God, please, let this be the last. And we have been spared for 3 years now. But then the false prophet in America, as he prophesied last year, it is going to be one of the most active years we have ever seen. Well, God proved him wrong. It was one of the most calmest years we have ever seen. Thank the Lord. Well, he came out with another prediction. There will be 7 severe hurricanes. I say, who tell him that? He was wrong last year. It's amazing. The weatherman is the only man who could be wrong and keep his job. Everybody else would be fired. But the point I am stressing is this. What happened in a place called Dieppe Bay in St. Kitts? It's a little reef, but there's an opening. And what happened? When the storm is raging and carrying on, the sea after days keep on bubbling up and foaming up and carrying on and still boisterous. You know what it did? It took all the fishermen's boat and pushed it right into this cave, into this opening of the reef. And all that storm was carrying on the other side, it pushed all the boats into this little reef inside this enclosure. This is what this means. Since all these trials, all these testings, looking back, you know what it does? Just drive us to God. When we acknowledge our brokenness, when we acknowledge how far we have gone, God is a God of recovery and revival. God recovers. And he closes, he says, awake! Why sleepest thou, O God? God, it seems as though you're sleeping. But we know you neither slumbers nor sleep. O Lord, and this Lord is Adonai, the Lord rich in blessing, the Lord as in blessing. Arise, cast us not off forever. Why, wherefore hidest thy face and forgettest the affliction of our oppression? For our souls are bowed down to the dust. Our bellies cleave to the earth. Arise for our help. Send help, O God, and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. Saints, the challenge is for all of us. We have looked back. We have looked at the present. But there are some things we have to hold on to and continue it until the Lord Jesus comes. May God help us. May God help us to be catalyst for change according to God's word. For his name's sake, amen.